Hey.
Almost one can there, but.
All right. Anybody else who wants to sing one? Speak now, forever hold your peace. All righty. All right, turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 16 and verse 18. And then I'm going to go to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 14, and I'm going to read one verse there. But what I want to speak on tonight is I want to speak on the New Testament church. When the New Testament church and what it needs to do, and we need to be in action. I started to preach on God's ambassador, but the Lord wouldn't let me go there, so maybe I can go at it some other night, but or some other morning or whatever. But here in Matthew chapter 16, in verses 18 through 20. Well, I'm gonna go back to verse 17, and what this is the first mention of the church. In other words, it's the first mention of the believer, which is the one that has been born again, washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 17, it says, in chapter 16 of Matthew, in verse 17, and Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then charge he, this disciple, that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. Over here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 18, chapter 14, excuse me. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 12, we have one verse here we're going to read. And then we're going to try to speak on tonight the duties of the church and the New Testament church and how, you know, how New Testament church comes about. But here in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 12 says, Even so, ye, for as much as ye are jealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel in the edifying of the church. What Paul is speaking about right here, he says we must always lift up the church. We must always lift up another brother or sister in the Lord. If we don't lift them up, and if we don't build them up, then yes, they will fall, and they will fall, and when they fall, they'll fall hard. But we need to always be able to build them up. And I think it's one thing that I see today that probably, and I'm just as guilty for it as anybody else, but one thing that I believe that we are guilty of As born-again believers, as Christians, when we see a brother or sister in Christ, when we see them fall by the wayside, or when we see them fall into sin, we will not go to them and we will not try to help them. That's when they need us the worst, is when they do fall into that sin and when they do fall into that ditch. That's when they need us the most. Well, we can come by there and encourage them that they need to pick themselves up and trust the Lord Jesus Christ. What constitutes the New Testament church? What constitutes the New Testament church? Christ must be the head of it. That's what constitutes the New Testament church. That Jesus Christ, He is the head of the church. And I can't go above Him in disobeying what He's asked me to do to satisfy somebody else. You can't go above somebody else. I mean above Him and go to somebody else about what they want you to do. We must always remember that Jesus Christ, He is the head of the church. Now, and I'm thankful that, and I don't even really like saying it, but I have to say it because it's the truth. But He has placed me here, and He's placed other pastors in different churches for them to be the under-shepherd. Now, what does the word under-shepherd mean? The under-shepherd means that he follows under the leadership of God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Ghost. That we must follow their leadership and we must do what they tell us to do. Oh, yes, some things in here that I've preached on that I'd rather had not ever preached on. But I had to preach it. Why? Because that's what they wanted, so I had to preach it. Myself, I would have rather preached something else. But that's not the way God works. God wants us to be able to be built up to where we can go out here and edify the church that has fallen by the wayside and they've got caught up in a ditch. And they got caught up in the sins of this world. And when we notice that, and when we see it, we must, according to God's word, we must go to them. And we must tell them, we're praying for you. We must lift them up. And if we can lift them up, then we can get them out of the ditch. We can get them out of the gutter that they've got themselves into. Because we are one breath away from being where they're at. That's right. We're one breath of being where they are at. So we need to watch it and don't be so holy and thou and everything that we, no, that's not going to be me. I'm not gonna do that. I'm not gonna fall into that ditch. I'm not gonna run around with them people no more. I tell you what, you better watch out, because you're gonna be the next one that falls. You're gonna be the next one that falls. And if it be the same way with me, if I say the same thing, I'm gonna be the next one that's gonna fall. And when I fall, it's gonna be hard. And I think it will for every child of God. It's going to be hard. Then that's just like that individual that's out here that has then got caught up in the ditch of this world. It then got caught up in the sin that easily besets us. That they don't recognize the hand of God no more. They don't even recognize that small, still voice. So that's when He asks us to go to Him, where they can see us. And you know, I don't like saying it, but that's the way it is. Well, see, God, the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, they are nothing but spirit. I cannot see God. I cannot see the Lord Jesus Christ. I cannot see the Holy Spirit. But I can experience thou touch upon me. They can't. Because then I got so far in the ditch and everything, the Lucifer's got it. The devil's got it where he wants them. They say, oh yeah, they're not going to lose their salvation. They're going to heaven. But if it stays and gets too long, they may go home quicker than they want to go. And God's word, what does God's word promise us? What does he promise us as a child of God? He says, 70. That's 70. 70 years is what God promises for me to be able to live on the face of this earth. But I can shorten it. You know, God won't shorten it. But I can shorten it. I can shorten it to where I can get out here and start nibbling in the sin, and I get so caught up in it that I don't know what I'm doing anymore. And I can bring a shame, and if I start bringing a shame upon the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that went to Calvary and died for me, then God's going to say to me, say, son, the shame that you're bringing stops right here. Stops right here. And when it stops right there, that's when he takes me home. May not be 40 years old or 45. But it wasn't his fault. It wasn't his fault that I didn't live 70 years. It was mine. And it's their fault. And they're going to continue to fall. They will continue to fall harder and harder and deeper in a ditch that they're not going to be able to climb out of by themselves. And see, and God's not going to go down that fall. See, God's went one time. He conquered death, hell, and the grave for each one of us today. He conquered death. He conquered hell. And he conquered the grave where he was laid at. Who did he conquer it for? For me? For you? For that other non-believer right here? So if he done all of that for us, then don't you think that I need to go out there and kind of encourage the people? Go out there and tell them, say, you know, I remember when you was in church. I remember when you walked in and I seen this smile on your face. I've seen you when you was in the pew. And I've seen you when the Holy Spirit got a hold of your heart. Tears started coming down your cheek right there. I remember all that. Don't you remember? Don't you remember how happy you was then? Don't you remember when at one time you and your family y'all was always fighting?
was at one another's throat. The kids could not do anything right. Your wife couldn't do anything right. You couldn't do anything right for the children. You couldn't do anything right for your wife. You remember all that? Do you remember the time when Jesus came? And he saved your soul? All you had to do was just ask him. He didn't ask for no money. He didn't ask for you just to. You promise, you're going to promise me you're going to serve me. You're going to have to make that promise to me before I say, yes, I'll say. No, see, Jesus don't do that. He expects us. He expects the faithful, the ones that's in church, the ones that have learned, the ones that have stood the test of time. That we all need to pick up the phone. We all can pick up a phone. We can all call somebody.
I can remember a time when I had to wait until I got home so I could use a telephone. I remember a time I had to wait till I got back to work so I could use a telephone. But now I don't have to wait until I get home to use a telephone. I don't have to wait until I get back to work. I don't have to wait until I get down here to use the phone. All I have to do is just take the phone out of my pocket and die.
And majority of us, we have our favorites. We have the people's names in there. And no doubt, somebody's name that we got in there, they may know the individual that we need to go see. And the only thing we have to ask is there any way that you can look up, or maybe you may know it, so-and-so's phone number? Hey, I may pick up your phone, and I may call them. And your phone may ring.
Ring and ring and ring and ring. Ring 5 or 6, 7, 8 times. But then we have something that's called an answering machine.
The answering machine will pick up. And the answering machine will probably say, well, I'm not here this time. You can leave a message. I'll get back in touch with you as soon as possible. We have an answer machine to where they can tell us we need to get back in touch with them. Or they will be in touch with us. See, we come up with all kinds of excuses not to go and speak to someone.
And I come up with all kinds of excuses in not going and seeing someone. You see, that is the job of the New Testament church. That is our, God has given us that duty. When God saved us, we may really probably don't even realize it, but really when we come and when we got saved and when we come up and we joined the church, the local church, what we done, first of all, they come up.
The pastor asks him, says, "Boy, are you saved?" "Yeah, you know when I got saved." You want to be faithful to the house of the Lord? Are you going to give to the ministry here? Are you going to give your time, your tithes, and your offering? See, and when they tell me, yes, I'm going to do that. I just need to let that go through me. Because what they're doing, they're not promising me. They're promising God. They made a commitment to God right then to be faithful to the congregation down here. They made a statement to God and said, yes, I'm going to be there. I'm going to do what I can to help the church. In my time, my labor, and my tithes and offering. Why can't help me build the church up? And I'm going to go out and witness. I'm going to go out and tell people about Jesus. I'm going to go out and invite people to the house of God. See, that's what people are promising God. They don't realize that, but that's what they've done. They promised God. And when God first gave me that,
what they done, it brought me back to a time when I won't bite. As a Christian, I want probably 2 weeks old. As a Christian. And I came before the church. And I talked to the pastor. And I told him I would love to be able to join the fellowship. I would love to be a part of this church. I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. I don't know none of that.
I said, I don't even know anything about the virgin birth. I don't even know anything about being baptized, if I have to be baptized. I don't know anything about taking the Lord's Supper. I don't know any of that. I don't even know what the church's duty is. But you see, that's where when you come into the church, where they come into the church, and we help them. When was the last time that you know of somebody
that they knew or heard somebody say that, well, I would come away today and help you do this, but you know, we had somebody saved at the church here a couple weeks ago. And I think I need to go by there and just pick him up. I need to take him to Wendy's or Hardee's or somewhere like that. And we just sit down there and have a cup of coffee. Or if he wants a drink, to let him know that we're there to help him. See, the people I heal, they don't know if we're there to help them or not. Have we been to them lately? Have we? Not just on where mothers went to daughters or mothers went to sons and went to the grandchildren and everything. It's not them. I'm talking about somebody else within the church. That is not a blood relative. That somebody else can take an interest in them. We need to let people know that we want to take an interest in them. We got to let them know that we want them to feel the same kind of joy, the same kind of love, and the same kind of happiness that we feel. If I could get just one individual the experience, the blessings and the joy serving the Lord. That right there would be enough. Because after they start serving him, and after he starts blessing them, then they're going to come back and they're going to say, "Hey, in the world did I make it this past week? Man, I hate this debate. I hate that debate. How did I make it?" You made it by the grace of God. By his marvelous grace. And I'm sure I'm thankful that he never gives out a grace. He has enough grace for me and you and everybody else in this world. He does not come up short with grace. But the New Testament church, where Jesus Christ is the head of it, the Bible, the King James Version of the Bible, what we believe and what we think that is the closest thing to the original manuscript that the Lord Jesus, that God the Father has placed there in heaven. Because it has all the teachings what we need. It teaches us about baptism. We must follow him in baptism. We must go into the water. And when we go down under the water, we are cleansing our body. A cleansing takes place. But then when we rise up, as soon as our head, our hands, or whatever comes above the water, glory be unto God. That's when we know that we have the Spirit of God lives within us. We know that we're serving a true and living God. We're not serving no fake right here. Like a whole lot of these people out here. A whole lot of people out here, they're serving a fake. They're serving a fake God. But I'm not serving no fake God. Because that same God that I serve lives right here. Lives right here in my heart. Why is it on your left side? I thought about that a lot. I don't know why I couldn't tell you left side. But I do know this. Like Brother Bill Vaughn said the other week. He said, same individual that the Lord trusted him enough that he would baptize the Lord Jesus Christ, John the Baptist. He baptized the Savior. See this? He didn't have to do that. He didn't have to do that. He didn't have to go and break bread with them either. The Lord's Supper. But what did he do? He broke bread with them. And then they got to discuss and say, just think about that. Think about the disciples and everything. I won't get too deep in that because I'm working on something on that. But just think about the condition that they was in, them disciples. And what they done when they wasn't walking with the Lord Jesus Christ. You know Peter, what did Peter do? He cursed God.
He denied God. What did Thomas do? Thomas, he doubted God. He said, when Thomas was even walking with the Lord Jesus, Daniel, I believe Thomas was saying to himself, it doesn't say in the Bible that I found, but I believe there's a good possibility that Thomas was going to say this. He said, he's been told us that he's going to leave us. But he'll be back. Thomas said, if I ain't mistaken, I think Peter said, Lord, can I go with you, Captain? And the Lord said, no, can't go. I will come again. And I believe Thomas was thinking about that whole thing. Even when he was walking with the Lord, he said, well, he's going to leave us one day. He's not going to be there to help me. He's not going to help me when I'm in doubt. He's not going to help me when I get caught up in sin. He's not going to help the other disciples. I ain't fair way he said that. But can anybody else say he didn't say he? We don't know what all took place. We just got a glimpse of what took place. And thanks be unto God. He has given us enough that can take us on to heaven. Hallelujah. He's given us just enough to keep us out of that ditch. He's given us just enough to keep us out of the grips of Satan. So if we get caught up in the ditch, if we get caught up in Satan's grip, if we get caught up in the bondage, it's not because of God. It's not because of His Son. It's not because of the Holy Spirit. Where it lies at, we gotta face it back. Where it lies at? Me. You. If we get caught up in it, that's where it lies at.
We must do what we can to help people. We must do what we can to be able to go and not only help them, but be there whenever they need us. We need to be ready. So when they call on a drop of a dime, and they say, Sister Irma, I need to see you. Sister Nancy, I need to see you. We don't need to ask them what it's about. We can tell it in the voice. And we need to go. And when they pick up the phone and they call me and they says, Pastor, is there any way possible that you can come over here now? I need to talk to you. I need just for you just to come and pray with me. It doesn't make no difference if it's 1 o'clock during the day. It doesn't make no difference if it's at midnight, or if it's 2 o'clock in the morning, or 4 o'clock in the morning. If they call me and they want me to come and I need to, and they want to talk to me about anything, I will go. Why? Because I haven't seen nowhere in God's Word that tells me that on Thursday morning, in the morning, that I go and I punch a clock at 8 o'clock. And then I go out and I visit. And then I come back home at 12 o'clock and I punch it out to where I can have an hour's lunch. Then I punch back in. Then I go back out. And then I punch out in the afternoon at 5 o'clock. Not no words. I ain't got to go nowhere tonight. I can stay home with my family. Hey, when you're in God's work, not just a pastor now, when you're in God's work, it's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And we must do what we can. Because, see, if I don't, and if you don't do what we can for the people that's in dire need of us, what good are we? What good are we? We ain't even no good for the Lord. We should be just like that individual said, well, the Lord saved me. Now I can just go and do what I want to. No, you can't either. Mm-mm. No, you can't. Guarantee you one thing. If you believe that you got saved, and you say the Lord says you can, you don't have to go to church, you don't have to attend church, you don't have to support the local church, or anything. They ain't going to be around here much longer. They ain't going to be around here much longer. They'll end up calling a pastor. The family will. The mother. The father. The wife. The daughters. The kin people will end up calling a pastor and asking them. I don't know if you've heard. But my husband just passed away. Unexpectedly. No signs at all of being sick. Is there any way that you could come take a part in the funeral services? And I'll tell you, something. The hardest funeral that I ever had the hardest one. And it should have been really the easiest one, but it wasn't. It was a newborn baby. That had been born, stillborn. It's tough. It was tough. The only thing I can do is preach to the family. Preach to the mother and the father. And just let you know that if they ever want to see their daughter, you know, they got to trust and they got to believe. Look at all the millions of infants that has been murdered by doctors, so-called doctors. Murdered. And they were
and they talk about that is the woman's right. Well, I feel like this way. If that lady or woman, whatever you want to call them, if that's what they got to do all the time, is getting in bed with somebody, then as far as I'm concerned, they need to go on and be fixed right then, like old dog. That's the only way I can say it. Because it's sad. It's sad for children to be brought into this world and with the families, the parents, the mother, the father, they don't love them. They don't want nothing to do with them. They'll let them go. They'll let them do anything they want to. That's the reason we have gangs. That's the reason we have people out here that's doing all the things that they do. Why? Because their parents gave up on their child as soon as that child was born. They said that child's going to do what they want to do. I can't help them. You can't help them because you don't want to help them. That right there. It's probably the same thing, maybe 10 years ago now. Me and my wife, we was coming from somewhere, I forgot where it was at, but it was a little pain. One of the neighborhoods over there. During the summer. And the kids was out there, they was playing. And the mother and the father, they was out there with them and then watching them, but they was out here. They had a bottle of beer they was drinking at. And they was drinking all kinds of stuff and everything. And the children out there doing what they just want to do. Then they must have asked one of the children, about to do something, and they didn't do it. The mother got up from the seat, went to the child, smacked the child so hard, knocked the child on the ground, smacked him so hard on his face. I wanted to turn around and go back and just pick up that child and put him in my car. I said, you ain't got to live like that. Did I call the police? No. I should have. And hoping maybe they would have done something. Well, what goes through our mind with that? That scenario. If I call the police, then I'm going to be involved. I'm going to be involved. That's what we need to do. We need to start getting involved. You start getting involved with people's lives and letting you know that they got a plan. And they don't have to tell us a thing. And if they do tell us what's going on, we should not go home and tell it to a wife. Tell to nobody. We need to come home, and if we do anything, if we're going to tell to somebody, we need to tell to the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to remind him once again. He's already heard to come out of our lips when he told me. But then I need to go to God. I say, God, I know you know what's going on in my life. But is there anything at all I can do to help them? That's the New Testament church. We need to get involved. And we don't need to wait the deacons. We don't need to wait for the pastor. We don't need to wait for somebody else to get involved. The Lord speaks to you by calling somebody. Call them. Hey, what can they do? The only thing they can do is just hang your phone up. But then, a good father does man hang your phone up. And if they do hang your phone up, then they won't sleep that night because of the guilt. They liable to call you back even the next day or the next. And say, you know, you called me today. I just hung up on it. See, we don't know what they was going through at the time. We don't know how they was hurting. We don't know how they was hurting. I know it's been times that yet I was hurting. And I was wondering why my prayer won't go nowhere but to the ceiling. And then bouncing off of the ceiling and hit the floor. I couldn't understand it. Pity party for myself. See, and God don't like a pity. God don't like nobody that has a pity party. I think we read over in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 18 there. The word jealous was in there. I ain't jealous of nobody. He's jealous of me if I start serving the devil. Because he don't want me to serve the devil. He don't want you to serve the devil. He's a jealous God. He's also a loving God. Our Father, we want to thank the Lord Jesus for this day. And Father, we pray God now for the message tonight, Lord, that you touch the church in action. Oh God, I pray, Father, that you will just speak to hearts tonight. And Lord, if we need to come to the altar, we just need to get up and come to the altar. And Father, we need to quit playing church. And Father, we need to do what your word says we need to do. We need to be there for the people. We need to be there in action. And show the people that we do care for them. And we do love them. Now, Father, tonight we pray, Father, that you'll have your will and way tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, we pray. Amen. Amen. No music, no song, no nothing. The Lord's spoken to you anywhere at all tonight. Don't hesitate. Just come to the front pew. When we take that first step in, if it's nothing else but move up one pew or two pews, what that is doing, that is telling God. Say, God, I want to get closer to you. We have some people we need to pray for. We need to pray for them all tonight. My heart tonight is headed to some people. And I just want y'all to help me pray for them. You don't even know who you are. Because the Lord already knows.